on 98.5. Good morning, Natalie Nicholson. Welcome.
Morning, Mike. Thanks for having me in.
It is good. Actually, you were in last Friday.
I was.
I just remembered.
I was.
It wasn't that long ago. Now, we are Facebook Live today, so if you're near your phone or your computer, maybe you're at work, you might have a little sneaky look. Join us via our Facebook page as well today. What are we going to be tackling today?
Well, Mike, I thought we could talk about how we can help our kids love learning.
Love learning. For some, it's difficult, right?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's one of those big things that we have a lot of kids that we, and as parents, we really want our kids to enjoy learning and enjoy going to school. But what can actually be behind that lack of loving learning? So I really wanted to just open up that forum. And if anyone had any comments or even texts, it'd be really a good opportunity to ask, you know, if their kids are not enjoying school and what we could have a look at tackling potentially why that might be the case.
So you think there might, some parents might be sort of concerned or thinking, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And it's knowing what to maybe look for in some, looking for those signs. Look,
definitely.
I've got a, we've got a double pass to give away to the station sponsor of the Perth Royal Show, which starts tomorrow. So if you'd like to be in the draw to win a double pass to the show, you can text in a question to Natalie, maybe about your child or your grandchild, maybe think, you know, concerned about learning difficulties. Thanks to station sponsor, the Perth Royal Show. What are some of the signs that you would often look for?
Yeah, look, obviously disinterest, not wanting to go to school is obviously going to be quite a key.
Is that a key indicator?
Yes.
I don't want to go to school today.
And look, there can be lots and lots of reasons why, but I think when we're looking at this as an ongoing thing, so we know we've been through the pre-primary, year one, year two, and we're still going through that, and then those challenges of getting them to school are still there, or it's just started happening.
Yep.
So once we start to get around to that year one and two mark, things can actually get quite advanced and quite challenging. There's a big jump academically, particularly in year one. And so sometimes we might have kids that are just a bit of school refusal. And it, we just need to have a look at, obviously, what other issues could potentially be there. And one of those things could be that they might be struggling with grasping the concepts that are going on at school. And I really encourage parents just to make sure that we're really having a look at that. And if they are struggling with those concepts, let's have a look at why.
Because school refusal could be, I'm just thinking, it could be a whole bunch of things, right?
It could be, definitely.
Someone said something to me yesterday, or it could be a whole range of things. But what you're saying, it could be something to identify early regarding their learning.
Yes, definitely. And a lot of the time kids actually don't know that they don't understand. So they could be sitting in the classroom and the first thing that they're usually going to be feeling is something like, I feel silly or I might feel stupid.
Because they don't know.
Because they don't know, and they can see that everyone else or most of the other kids know what's going on. And so that's it's not very common that kids would actually go home and say, Mum, actually, I don't get what's going on at school, or I don't understand that. So that's why those specific questions are really helpful to be able to ask. And so, yeah, that's one of the real key things is just finding out, obviously, from the teacher if there are other potentially things going on, how they're actually progressing at school. And finding out, you know, if that could be potentially a reason why they're not enjoying their learning journey.
Finding it early, obviously, is the key, because as you go through, I would imagine year one, year two, and then you start getting up to year three and four, if you if you've missed it, I guess, you know, it's nice to get it early, right?
Definitely, definitely. So those first few years we talk about learning how to read. And learning how to do these things. And then once we get to kind of end of about year three, we're going into year four, we're doing reading to learn.
Okay.
So we really, if we want to grasp any concepts of those early years of development, we want to make sure that we're getting right on top of those quite early, definitely.
That's great. Natalie, we'll take a break. You're on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike, and joining me in the studio is education specialist Natalie Nicholls. And if you need your phone or your computer, you can jump on to our Facebook page. We are live. Talking about learning difficulties today, Natalie, what about building a positive relationship with the kids' teacher?
Yes. So I love
spoken about this a few times, haven't we?
Yes. I love this one, Mike, because I can obviously relate as a parent, but I can also relate. I have been in the classroom myself too.
Okay.
And then I can also relate because I've also trained teachers, and then I can relate because I'm also a parent. So, you know, I kind of come from a few different avenues. And Sometimes parents feel they don't want to bother the teacher. And it's so kind.
Yeah.
Because the teachers do have a lot going on,
right?
You
feel like you're interrupting.
You feel like you're interrupting, you know. But I encourage parents to realise that, you know, your child is being educated by them. And if you have concerns, most times, 9 times out of 10, they want to help you, to help your child. And they don't mind being interrupted or emailed or, you know, obviously there's a limit. But, you know, we just need to make sure that, I suppose, we feel a bit more confident in being able to approach the classroom teachers about that. And having that relationship is really important, where we're both on the same page. We both understand that the child is struggling with these areas and what are the best things that the parent could do at home to help. And, you know, asking things like, usually the children might be on an IEP.
Sorry,
which
what's is that?
A individual education program.
Okay.
So if children do get diagnosed with a learning difficulty, they're usually put on a school IEP, which actually is just targets that they go through. If your child is on an IEP, I do always encourage those regular meetings. So usually they'll have a meeting at the beginning of the term and at the end of the term. My perspective is that I would always encourage people to have a meeting in the middle of the term as well. Even if it's just a shorter meeting, just encourage the teacher to be able to say, look, can we have a 5-week chat? Because what can happen is that we might put some plans into place at the very beginning and maybe those targets haven't been working and we get to the end of the term and we realise it's a waste of a term.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Whereas if you can catch it by week 5, you've already had 5 weeks to try these targets, and if things didn't work, you've got a chance then to change those targets and work together. Really, you've only got 4 terms within the year, and you really want to make the most of that as well.
So if you're not on that IEP, which you've just spoken about, and there's the usual standard parent-teacher interviews that happen throughout the year, is it fair to say not you shouldn't maybe wait for those, but maybe even look to get some additional ones on top of that as well?
Yes, definitely.
Because otherwise, like you've just said, the year could go.
Yeah, and I always encourage actually in the beginning of the school year, particularly, and because most of the time parent-teacher interviews usually start around the end of that term one period. But if you do already have concerns with your child, I would always have a meeting within the first couple of weeks.
It's good.
Just to kind of make sure that we're not really, I suppose, wasting that one term. And the other thing I encourage parents to do as well is that to find out what your child will be learning for that term or for those 5 weeks.
Ahead of time.
I mean, the teachers have all their plans done.
Yeah, true.
And most times they're pretty happy just to let you know we're actually going to be covering a bit of decimals, we're going to be covering these vowels and, you know, things like that. And if you know that information, you can then do a bit of pre-teaching at home with your child, or you could also follow on and just see how they're progressing with that. And you are not necessarily going to have as many gaps because you've kind of kept on top of it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Natalie, we'll take a break. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols, Education Specialist, is with me in the studio. We've been chatting on Facebook Live as well. It's been a big morning this morning, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Lots to talk about, but it is it's a big topic, learning difficulties. We're getting some questions coming through, Natalie. Good morning, Karen. Thanks for your message. I have 3 children, all with learning difficulties. They are 12, 11 and 8. The school years have certainly been a challenging time of our lives. What advice do you have for parents who are trying to manage and encourage their children as they navigate the school years? We have regular meetings with the children's teachers and they are on documented plans. So it sounds like there's something really good in place there. I still feel like I'm not doing enough to help them. We've just touched on this. What would you say to Karen?
Oh, Karen, look, the fact that you've already texted in is enough to help.
Shows
that you are a very dedicated parent.
12, 11 and 8.
Yes, that must be challenging. Yeah, definitely.
Karen feels like she's not doing enough.
Yeah, and look, that we've got to get rid of that parent guilt. Karen, I'm sure you've been doing everything possible that you can. It's never anyone's fault. I think this is one of the big things that we need to make sure that parents understand it's never their fault. And yes, it is a challenging system because the school systems are not equipped enough to be able to support children with learning difficulties. This is actually a nationally recognised problem.
Okay.
It's a big problem. And so, unfortunately, we don't always have that specific training within the schools to be able to cater for that. There are some fantastic programs actually out there that are offering training to teachers and things like that. I would always encourage, from your perspective, Karen, just making sure that the school has a really good learning support team.
Okay.
So learning support or learning coordinator, and seeing what kind of level of training or expertise they may have, and even if there is anything else that you know of, you know, recommending or, you know, sometimes the parents can provide quite a little good insight into that as well. But also then as a parent, just equipping yourself with that knowledge about the difficulties. If your children have already been diagnosed with a learning difficulty, you would probably know a lot about that difficulty. And I suppose just you can obviously be supporting them from home. And also if their difficulty is specifically with literacy, then making sure that they are under a specialist tutor. And again, following that standardised testing. I'm huge on standardised testing because then you can measure properly to see the progress. Okay. So, you know, I always like to see if I'm starting something, I'd like to do a pre-test to see what the challenges are. And then I want to do a pro-test at the end so I can make sure that we are doing the right thing for this child and then continuing on that way. Yeah.
That's a good tip for Karen. Karen, thank you very much. And you're probably doing better than you think you are.
Good on you, Karen. Karen.
Got some more questions coming through.
Sure.
It's a little Q&A today, yes. Isn't it? Thanks, Paul. Paul says, my daughter has trouble with sounding out words clearly. Mm-hmm. We went to see a speech pathologist.
Yep.
And are there other things we can do? She starts primary next year. So
primary
would she be five? Probably. Pre-primary.
So she'd be in pre-primary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
Yes, definitely. So first of all, the right avenue, obviously, yes, heading to a speech language therapist is great. The next thing I would also go and check is her hearing. So just making sure that, so two parts to hearing actually, which parents don't or aren't always aware, but one is just a general hearing test. And the next one is what we call auditory processing assessment. So there are a couple of places in Perth that do offer that. But once you identify a lot of kids that do have trouble with sounding out things are quite commonly associated with having auditory processing challenges, then you've at least got some kind of area you're kind of aware of. I'd also be on top of that, knowing that that also is obviously then going to be linked with literacy. So sounds like, is it Paul?
Paul,
sounds
yes,
like
Paul.
He's right on top of it now. Keep going with it, Paul.
Yeah.
The next thing I would also do and recommend is to, once your daughter does start learning how to read and write, stay on top of it. Otherwise, get some kind of specialist tutor to make sure that she's keeping up with it, because they will teach in a different way, making sure that every sound that she's going to be saying is actually being, we call it brain mapping. There's a certain map of three pathways that need to be properly connected. Just by having a specialist person being able to do that, you're going to make sure that your child won't fall behind.
Well done. Thanks, Paul, and also thanks, Karen. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more, but we're going to continue the conversation via our Facebook page, so jump onto your phone or your computer. Back after this one. 98.5, and this is Weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols is with me in the studio. Good to be with you on a Friday. It's nice to have you back in. Two Fridays in a row.
Yes.
Learning difficulties. This is a big one, and it's a good one to get in early, right, for our kids, and which you mentioned at the start. Pretty well, since they start school. Pretty well. Is that when you start to identify it?
You know what? There are some early indicators, but I think a lot of parents don't realise. They kind of go, oh, I actually always knew there was something else, but didn't know until then they have a diagnosis later on.
Okay.
There are a lot of indicators an earlier stage, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, to finish off today, Natalie, we're going to be talking about thinking about your thinking. Is that the right terminology? Tell us more.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about encouraging our kids to be able to think out loud, or even in your own, you know, mind, talking about what you're thinking and whether or not that is appropriate. Is it a helpful thought or is it an unhelpful thought?
So you're not just thinking about the thinking, you're actually talking about...
Then you've got to analyse it.
Hang on a minute. So you're talking about what you're thinking about the thinking.
Yeah.
This is hard on a Friday.
Because, well, it's interesting, you know, because once we, if we become anxious about something, all of a sudden it actually can cloud what we call our working memory and impacts our ability then to do the task.
Okay.
So it's really important that we catch that anxiety before we even try something. So in a lot of our interventions, we'll have things like, are our emotions in check first before we move on to something else? And just recognizing signs of anxiety. What kind of things does anxiety, how does it present, or how do I show that I'm anxious about it? And if I am then anxious, what can I do about it to calm myself down before I start my reading, my writing, my spelling, my maths? Mm. Because once we do become stressed, you're not going to be able to do it.
Sure.
The brain actually just goes, there's just too much stress going on there. I've got to deal with that right now, and the stress, I don't need to deal with my literacy and my numeracy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And just to finish off today, we've had some great texts from Karen and Paul. What would you say to encourage parents that are concerned, that are not sure, haven't taken that step in to look at it further?
Yeah, look, I think just going back to those three points, Mike, and one is learn about as much as you can. There's never a point where you can stop learning.
True.
So just keep researching, keep finding out stuff. There's always more science-based, especially now with all the brain scans, things that they can do with this. There's so much more articles and things that are coming out, a lot more research now too. Number two, building that positive relationship with the teacher. Be on board with them, be in regular contact with them, find out as much as you can. There's never too much, I suppose, that you can do from that perspective.
And just on that, don't feel like you're nagging them.
No,
because we often do,
right.
Don't we? Oh, we're bothering them.
Yes, and I just one other quick thing on that is that make sure that we're not limiting our child's potential. I think sometimes we go, oh, they can only do that, so that's we're not going to do any more. You know, I think we need to make sure that we're lifting that bar a little bit higher, because everyone can do more than what they realise anyway. And lastly, just keeping on top of our thinking and making sure that we can recognise or teach our children the signs of, are they thinking bad thoughts before they try something, and trying to get them to change them. Yep.
We're out of time.
No worries.
Once again, Natalie, education specialist, has joined me in the studio. You're looking forward to the school holidays?
Yes.
Time with the kids.
We're going to the Royal Show tomorrow, actually.
Well done. Enjoy that tomorrow.